Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 411th edition of SDG, Sola Dei Gloria. And the title of today's message is My True Story of the Sovereignty of God and the Will of Man. I'm going to build this around a well-known scripture in the book of Psalms. And it's Psalm 29, verse 10. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. Praise the Lord. So what does delaying a cookout, mowing the grass, some dead tropical fish, and a phone call all have to do with the sovereignty of God and the will of man? Well, I hope you stay tuned, folks, to find out with another true story that just happened to me this week on Sunday, July 22nd. And you know what? It's awesome because it's all about Jesus. But first, well, let's ask ourselves some questions about these two concepts, the sovereignty of God, and then read some verses, and then look into the will of man, from the Bible, of course. So, first of all, what is the sovereignty of God? Well, God's before all things, okay? He truly is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He did it all, folks, and all for His glory. before the mountains were born, for you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. God created all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Psalm 90, verse 2 was that last one I read. And, of course, Colossians 1:17 was the first. You know, it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for in him, that's Jesus, were created things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. The sun is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, praise the Lord, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And God, he transcends all things. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set glory in the heavens. That's Psalm 8, verse 1. Praise the Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You exalted far above all gods. Psalm 97, verse 9. And furthermore, God knows all things. Great is our God, mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Psalm 147, verse 5. I make known the end from the beginning. That's what he said through Isaiah in chapter 46, verse 10. So can you see, this sovereignty of God is huge. It's everything. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And God can do all things that's consistent with his nature. So he's not going to do something that'll blaspheme his name or do something that'll contradict his character. And yes, the old, can God make a rock that he cannot lift? Well, that's just nonsense, you know. So Jesus looked up and said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Matthew 19, verse 26. And then in Jeremiah 32, verse 27, God spoke through Jeremiah and said, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? And he owns all things. He owns everything, the cattle on a thousand hills. Psalm 24, verses 1 through 2. And I'm going to read really fast. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. But he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Chronicles 29, verse 14. But I, who am I, and who are my people, that you should be able to give us generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. God rules over it all, folks. He does. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as God forever. Psalm 29, verse 10. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and power and glory and majesty and splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands, strength and power exalt and give strength to all. 1 Chronicles 29, 11, verse 12, and Psalm 29, verse 10. Sovereignty of God. How does it impact you and me? How does the sovereignty of God impact you and me? Well, he's in control of everything in each and every one of our lives, whether we want to admit it or not. Job said in 42, verse 2, God is in control of all things, okay? And here's how he said it. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. So the psalmist in 135, verse 6 said, the Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth and in the seas and all their depths. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul wrote, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put forth our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Psalm 135, verse 6, the Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth and in the seas and all their depths. Proverbs 16, verse 4, listen to this one, folks. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for the day of disaster. Don't these just drive the point home that he is in control? This is powerful, folks. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 30. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Praise the Lord. Now let's move on and read some verses about man's free will, as some people call it. Okay? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Now, you might scratch your head about that one a little bit. Just think about that, okay? We scheme and devise all sorts of things, but when the Lord directs our steps, we're blessed. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, that's God's will, God will show him, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I'm just going to read the first part of some of these, okay? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. We all know this one, okay? I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and thou seed may live, that thou may knowest the love of the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is life and the length of days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 2, verses 6 and 17. The Lord commanded the man, that's Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, except one. And what did he choose with Eve? What did he choose? How about James? Listen, there's so many good ones here. So many good ones. I lost my place on my list here. Here's one, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. I just have a list of these scriptures here, and I'm reading them to you. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we have a choice there. Walk in the Spirit, walk in the flesh. Something good's going to happen, something bad's going to happen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. And that thou may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who were taken captive by him at his will. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And of course that continues. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Proverbs 16, 1. The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of his tongue is from the Lord. Mark 8:34. Listen to this. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's a choice, folks. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So he wants us all saved. We have choices in this matter. And I don't want to get into the Calvinistic debate with the Armenians. I don't want to do that. That's just divisive. And I've been in public places before where I've seen Christians arguing like that. And I'm thinking, two people would be arguing like that, and people would think they're arguing about politics or something, and they'd find out they're Christians and say, I don't want anything to do with that. So we're not being a good example when we argue that. And that's not the point of this message. I want to share with you how these things became real this week to me. So that's what the Bible has to say about our free will and the sovereignty of God. And there's a lot more in that Bible. I encourage you to just go in there and do word searches. And it's all true because it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. Praise the Lord. So let me get into the story here. This is a short message, folks. Bear with me. I just want to share it because it just happened last Sunday. So last Sunday morning, Terry said to me, you know, Ken, it's going to be really hot today. It's going to be 100% humidity. It's going to be 95 degrees. Let's postpone the cookout down at my mom's until this heat wave passes. She just didn't want me standing over a hot grill in 95 degree weather. And you see, we had planned to take my mom, Valerie, who's a miracle in her own way, down to Terry's mom's place in Cheswick. That's about 45 minutes further away from this area and the plant and everything. And then I got my mom with us and all that stuff. And by the way, I want to talk about my mom's miracle more later. You see, my mom and Terry's mom, Stella, they've grown to become friends over the years, and we planned a cookout on Sunday, but Terry wanted to postpone it because it was just so hot. It was oppressive here. Really, really hot. Now, in the past, I'd have forced the issue because I just am one of those guys that has to get everything checked off his list, and we'd have probably gone. It would have probably been miserable time due to the heat, and then this testimony I'm going to give you, there would have been disaster up at the plant in Kittanning, okay? But praise the Lord, this still small voice in me said, peace be still. And so I just submitted to that voice, and I simply replied to Terry, okay, we'll replan. Now, I've been consciously practicing to hear God's still small voice every step of the way. So no big deal so far, okay? You agree? Well, stay with me here, folks, because this really gets good. It gets supernatural, okay? So after I get back from exercising with my mom, she only lives 4 miles down the road from us. And I was exercising with her every day since she had her stroke, and she's doing great. So she had a big country breakfast ready for me. And usually I'd complain and say, Terry, I can't eat all that. I'll feel bogged down. I don't want all that food in my stomach. But a still small voice in me just said, thank Terry for it and eat it. So I did. And guess what? I didn't feel bloated. Praise the Lord. So after talking a bit, okay, with Terry, I said, you know, I'm going to go out and mow around here, up around the house, and maybe this afternoon down front in the field. And Terry said, don't mow in this heat. And I listened to for his still small voice. I didn't hear it. And I simply said, Terry, I'm mowing. I can't sit around. It's not like I'm going to do anything super physical sitting on a tractor. I'll put a hat on. So I got out there. You know, after I put my work garb on, pocket t-shirt, jeans, and a do-rag, that's what I wear when I mow, and I fired up the small tractor and started mowing up around the house, okay? Nothing extraordinary. Now, after I was mowing for a while, I heard a small noise coming from the tractor. So I was over by the shop, so I stopped to check it out. I thought maybe it needed some oil, because I did forget to check the oil when I got started. But I didn't want to damage the mower, and I didn't want to cause any problems, so I just thought, you know, I'm going to do what's right. And by the way, folks, when I stopped, I did it because of what we learned a few messages ago on the Josie's Rose story. You know, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Remember that one? And if you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to the Josie's Rose story, because it's exactly what this is building upon. Now, remember, James 2:26 says, so as for the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead. And guess what that word in Greek means? The word work, it means work. So in other words, just do it. Everybody thinks Strong's 2941 ergon means some kind of spiritual thing. You got to do all this spiritual work. Well, when you read it, it means to work, an effort, occupation, by implication, an act, deed, doing, labor, work. See what I mean? So I've been applying this to all my life since that Josie Rose story. It was just, that blew my mind when that happened. So just do it. So I shut down the tractor and right in front of my shop, opened the door, and I walked into this most awful stench. And this is a big building. It's like 2,500 square feet, 12-foot sidewalls, about 20 feet in the peak. It's a big building. And I'm thinking, what is that stench? And I looked over at my aquarium, and the fish were dead. I have this giant pleco and this big Jack Dempsey, beautiful fish. And the heater had malfunctioned, overheated the water, and killed them. And I have this aquarium set up in my shop up in the man cave area where I have a couple leather recliners and a flat screen TV and a little refrigerator. Just an area to rest or visit with a guy friend if Terry doesn't want him in the house. And I just simply shouted, God, why? That's all I said. Then for about the next 15 minutes or so, I cleaned this mess up. And I was practicing that principle. Don't put this off. Well, first of all, I didn't want that stench in there, but I just was saying, I got to get this cleaned up now. I got to move on. And then the phone from the plant was calling. I looked down there and I thought, oh, there's a problem. And our crew leader, Dan, called to tell me the power was out. And he was on emergency power, but the furnaces were not coming back to temperature. So we have this big generator in the back of the plant. It's a diesel locomotive genset. That's how they drive these traction motors on these big diesel locomotives. So we have one of those as a generator to run the furnaces. It's big. So we're talking, and I discover he didn't turn the breakers back on. That's the protocol. As soon as power goes off, you throw the breakers to the furnace, and then you go start the generator. Well, he started the generator, but he didn't turn the breakers back on. Wow. So I started to realize we're going to have some problems. So I grabbed my keys, my phone, and wallet, and rushed up to the plant. I didn't even tell Terry. I just called her and told her what's happening. Okay? So I get up to the plant, record time, about 25 minutes. Never made it to the plant that fast. I was speeding, and I figured I'd just hand the officer my wallet and registration, tell him we have an emergency at the plant. Please follow me. You could ticket me up there. But anyways, I get up to the plant, and I discover he still hasn't restarted two of the melters. So I just asked Jesus for strength and clarity of mind and focus. And long story short, by the grace of God, we recovered all of our furnaces by about 9 p.m. that evening. But in the period of that, you have to go through this ramp up. And you're sitting there and you've got all the automatic controls overridden. And you're forcing it. But you've got to watch it because you can blow the fuses on it when you drive too much amperage. And it's real technical, but I don't want to get into all that, okay? So while I was in that phase until about 9 p.m. that evening, I hear, because I'm just sitting there praising the Lord, watching the numbers, making adjustments on outputs and what have you, I hear, that's why. Then it struck me while I was sitting there in the control room, manually running these furnaces back up to temperature. Dear Jesus, had those fish not been dead, I would have been back on the mower and never heard the call from the plant. But then it struck, had I not forgotten to check the oil in the mower when I started, I'd have never stopped at the shop, discovered the dead fish, and started cleaning that mess up. And I'd have missed the call. And then it struck. I mean, this just kept hitting in waves. Had I not acquiesced to Terry's rescheduling of the cookout at her mom's, I'd have been over 2 hours away from the plant, and that would have added a day, maybe 2 days, to the recovery and a lot of lost production. Folks, that's an example of the sovereignty of God working with the free will of this man. And praise the Lord, he's awesome, isn't he? So that's all I really wanted to share with you today. A very short message, but it's the truth, folks. It's what God's all about. He's in control. He's here for all of us. And I just wanted to share that with you. So in closing, remember to listen for his still small voice and follow it. And when there's something you can do, you ought to do it right now. Just do it. Okay? Faith without works is dead, folks. Folks, I love you all. Just know that God's in control and he wants to bless you, not curse you, give you life, not death. And our God is greater. Never forget that. And I'll be back next week with another message from the Word of God. So let's just lift our hands up with Chris Tomlin and know our God is greater. Praise the Lord. I love y'all.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Stronger, God, you are higher.
darkness, you shine.